Great. We're starting a bit of a very short sermon series that's got more than one part. It's called Made to Conquer. That's you. Do you know that you were designed in such a way that you can actually conquer some of the most strenuous, difficult situations in this world? You can overcome it. Did you know that? You were made that way. You were made in that way that you can overcome. And more than that, you were given the Holy Spirit, which makes you an overcomer. We're going to just exploit that a bit and just bring our hearts in line with God's word. Is that okay? Can we do that? I've been not a pastor for too long, a bit longer than 5 years. Before that, I served God for 10 years flat out. I've been small group leader at least for 16 years. And here's the thing. I meet two types of people in this world. The one type is challenge avoiders or challenges avoiders. What's the best? First one or second one? Challenge averse. How's that? Will you help me next time before the service and don't embarrass me? Okay. And you get people that face challenges head on. And it's interesting what I've seen in the last 16 years or so. The people that tend to try and get around challenges, get away from those situations, try and ignore it, they're the ones that keep on ending up in difficult situations. And some of us have experienced that. It's like we call it a vicious cycle. Who's heard about a vicious cycle before? You do something kind of stupid, and then you say, I won't do that again for 1 week or 1 month, or depending on the type of thing, 1 year, and you are back there. And the more you try and post motivational clips on your Facebook page and scriptures like, I can do all things for Christ, you know what? Next year, you are in the same place. The thing is, posting scriptures is not what's going to make you overcome challenges in this world. It's going to make you victorious. It's facing them. And I want to help you with that. So I want to talk through it. I want to give a few pointers. And tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to look specifically at a piece of scripture in Romans 8, and I'm just going to take out five things that's got to do with this thing, conquering fears. We're going to move on and we'll develop it a bit in the next few weeks. But let's quickly head into this straight on. This is the last scripture of the piece we're handling, but let's start at the end and then we almost will start at the beginning and work our way to this scripture. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We're going to start there tonight. Listen, I just quickly want to pray before I continue. Father, I just want to ask that you will just use me in this moment from my spirit, Lord, and not from my flesh. Just use me as an instrument. And I pray, Lord, that every ear will hear, Lord. Thank you that you are the good shepherd and you speak to your sheep and they hear. And thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's just set the stage for this evening. Firstly, there is things to be conquered. That's why you are more than a conqueror. Okay, it kind of makes sense. Obvious, the moment, all right? These type of scriptures, there's a few of them. I can do all things through Christ. Great is He that's living in me, that He that is in the world. I almost want to group them in those scriptures that you need to know. These are the ones you see on people's arms, on their backs. I don't know where they're tattooed these days, on their foreheads. Everywhere. Okay, you see these things. Facebook posts. I don't know, in the back of cars, you see them. And that's great because these are very powerful things. But what's even more powerful is when these scripture, these truths are correctly understood. And so today I want to actually take this one and break it open. So what does it mean? Because sometimes I think what we experience is if I post scriptures like this where I believe it, no harm will come my way. And that is not biblical. These scriptures lead us to a place, if we understand them in context, where we overcome those difficulties. We face them head on. We walk through them. We disarm them. And that's what we're going to work on tonight. Are you with me, everyone? Just check this word, conquer. It's quite a strong word. Overcome and take control of a place or people by military force. It's got a military connection to it. Annihilate, overpower, or to master, beheer te kry. You are more than a conqueror through Him who loved you. Now let's start and let's just work our way. I'm just going to read 12 verses. It's quite a steady section. Don't, moenie aan die slaap raak, jy sal nie van julle moeg. Stay awake and let's work through this together. Romans 8 verse 25. You can follow on the screen if you want to. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Why am I starting there? It's 12 verses. It's building up to that verse. All right? One scripture should always be read in the context of the scriptures around it, of the whole chapter. If you go further, the whole book, and then of course the Bible. If you want to be very specific and you're looking at stuff, a book like Romans, which Paul writes, you can read the other Pauline letters to understand what he thinks. So you can really leverage this thing. We're only taking 12 verses. Alright? Let's do it together. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes, that means to pray, for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And the Holy Spirit is praying for you, is what Scripture is saying. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. There's another tattoo verse. For those who are called according to His purpose. A lot of weight in that Scripture though, eh? For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. A lot of fides there, okay? Just hold on, don't stress. Okay, you can go home and maybe check it on your own again. I'm going to go a bit fast tonight. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies, but it is God who saves. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. There's that word again. Interceding also means to go between two parties. It's what Jesus is doing for us. He comes down from heaven to earth, connects us with His heart, goes back. It's that picture of a lawyer, right? Goes to and fro the country and the person he's defending. That's Jesus. He's interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? As it's written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to the slaughter. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Whew! All right. Long piece of scripture. Don't stress. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take those 12 verses and I'm going to extract 5 things that's going to help you think about challenges, tribulations, things you need to conquer. Only 5 things. Right? Are you with me? Can we do this? I want to go fast. Number one, believers will have challenges to conquer. As easy as that. It's a thing some people try and avoid by maybe building a big house and a very large wall, putting an electric fence on and putting someone there with a gun. I don't know what else you can do. But the thing is, believers will have challenges to conquer. It's something you cannot avoid. In fact, avoidance can get you into this trouble. In all these things, we are more than conquerors, which means there are things to conquer. Now, let me just help you here. You don't have to conquer a lot of stuff when you're on a holiday in Mauritius, right? That's not a challenge to conquer. It's a blessing to enjoy, all right? Are you with me? Okay. So it's talking about stuff that's not nice. It comes your way. You have to deal with it. Most of the time, it's got to do with other people. Not exclusively, but most of the time. Romans 8 verse 28, it says, for we know that those love God, all things work together for the good. Which means there's many things in essence that's not good. They will be worked for your good if submitted to God. If you love God and if you bring your heart to Him, if you bring that terrible situation or the situation you got yourself in, your sinfulness, whatever, if you bring it to God, that thing that happened was bad. It can be worked for your good. Are you with me? There's challenges to conquer. If we go to the next slide, just a few things I took out. Verse 25 speaks about uncertainty. I don't know what to pray for. It's one of the things, one of the challenges. It speaks of weakness. Feeling overwhelmed, not knowing what to do. I'm not sure. Should I go right? Should I go left? I have no clue. That's all examples of these challenges that comes your way. What's very important here is don't think of a challenge as some or other intimidating person or animal that's chasing you. Okay? These are often things in your heart that's preventing you from living life to the full. A challenge that you must overcome. Your invisible enemies is always more dangerous. And then it names all these things in verse 35. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, speaks of poverty, or danger, or the sword speaks of death. These are all the things in one form or another that you will have to deal with in this life. Did you know that? Now, there is something called the prosperity gospel, which one of the core beliefs is if you love God, only good things will happen to you. It's heresy. It's not biblical. Paul is writing. He's naming these things. He says, these things came my way, but I conquered them. Are you ready? Playing the avoiding game is only going to get you into trouble because it's going to be a surprise when it gets you around the corner. What I am saying is believers know that it does not matter what come their way, they will conquer it. But know this, in this world, there will be difficult times. Can we agree on that, everyone? Just skip your go. Okay, great. That's your number one. Believers will have challenges to conquer. Romans 8 teaches us. Okay? Number two, Jesus knows about every challenge you face. Every single one. In verse 28 it says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. Now part of this process where He calls you, Scripture reassures us that He knows what will be on the road. And if we bring it to Him, we can know that even the bad stuff, He will work for good. Now, this does not make sense in a natural sense, but it does supernatural. In the natural, I mean, if you throw a lot of stuff into the bucket that you should not throw in there to bake a cake, they're like bully beef, and I don't know, I hate bully beef, I don't know what else, lamb chops, and then spiritually, Scripture says, if you were given bully beef, chops, and maybe an egg, and you bring it to God with a pure heart, there will be a cake. That's what Scripture says. He will take what is bad in His own hands, and it will work to be good. If He hasn't, are you with me? It's called grace. It's just one or two verses maybe you want to write down. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. What do you receive at the throne of grace? Stuff you don't deserve. That's what grace is. And that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Where maybe you are tonight, or maybe you have a friend that's there. What is important for you to understand here is God knows about it. He's aware. And if you come to Him with it in that difficult situation, He will give you what you need in the time of need. Do you deserve it? No. That's why it's called grace. even if you've got yourself there, turn to Him. Amen? Are you still with me? Tik your mic and say, wakker word. I see some chicken wings here. Number three, guys, very important. Satan has a purpose with your suffering. I've shifted gear. Let's call it suffering. Because you know what? Some of these emotional things that we're dealing with really causes us to suffer, right? Even if it's not physical, even if it's not on your body, and even if you're not literally ran out of money or something, which is also quite physical, but it can be a war in your heart. Listen, I'm telling you, some of these things we deal with in our heart, in our mind, causes a lot more pain than breaking an ankle. Breaking an ankle is painful for a few hours till they get you to the hospital, hopefully not by Evander. But they get you, then they pump you full of stuff, and then you don't feel pain. You're okay. When your heart is in trouble, that is suffering. That's often a lot harder. Let me tell you what, Satan has a purpose with your suffering. Let me show it to you. This is what the writer asks in verse 33 and 35. He says, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Why is he asking that? Because there's one laying charges the whole time. The accuser. Wanting to separate you from God. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then there's that long list. Now let me ask you this. Have tribulation in the past separated people from God? He says yes. So it does happen, right? What about distress? What about persecution? What about famine? All these things have separated people from God. That's the plan of the enemy. He's making the case. He says, listen, you are more than a conqueror. If we go to our last verse. All these things will come your way. You will conquer it. He's making the case for your faith. But let's be honest. These things have stolen many people away from God. Do you agree? That's the plan of the enemy. Two things. We can go to the next slide. I think it's on there. Condemnation and separation. What's condemnation? Jy skuldig. Okay? He will not take you back. You have messed up. He will not take you back. You cannot come back from here. Beskuldigen. That's the first thing he wants to do. I felt it this week. I didn't have a great week this week. I'm honest with you guys. And at some stage, I thought, man, how can I preach on Sunday? I should give the mic to Hannah. No, that will not work. Maybe to Nelise. I'm just joking. The moment he condemns you, you're beskuldig, and you take it, what do you do? What do you do when you feel condemned, when you feel guilty? What do you do in your relationship with God? You pull back. Yes, come, eh? So what has he done in the process? He has separated you from the love of God. Know this. He has a plan with your suffering. And so know this. Write it on your fridge. The enemy has a plan to separate me from God and to make me feel shame. And then write underneath Romans 8 verse 1. Who the Son has set free is free indeed. There's no condemnation for me. Because these are the two things that will come your way when tribulation comes. You know what's the worst part? Some of the challenges that will come your way will have nothing to do with you. You will just be relationally connected. Someone will die. All right? It's not your fault that they died, but the enemy will tell you, oh, but if you prayed more, it would have been there. It's your fault. He will find a way to condemn and separate. Be aware of that, okay? Be very aware. We want to stand strongly against this. Number four, God has a purpose for your suffering. I don't want to go into it too deep. You must go back to January to our sermon series on answering life's toughest question, why there's pain and stuff. For now, it's here in this world. God is holding out with us. We're a sinful generation, sinful world. He's holding out to save more people. In the meanwhile, we are stuck here to glorify Him in the midst of difficult times. So there is suffering, there is sin, and there is evil. when he comes back, there will be no more. But there will also be no more saving of souls. Are you with me? Can you see what God is doing here? He's bearing with sin to save more sons for himself. Knowing this world, he uses suffering for our best. It's where we are. See, Spielfeld Vons is. And so he says, I will keep my hand over you. One scripture says, I will not tempt you above your ability. It gets filtered by God. All right? Scripture says it very clearly. For the believer, right? Many people, guys, this is honestly, for many people, what happens when temptation gets too much, despair, what happens? It's the end, all right? They clock out. They fall into something. So for many people, it does become unbearable. Christ says, if you trust in me, I will filter everything that comes your way. Check this out. And he knows that for those who love God, all things work together for the good. Okay, it's the third time we stated that. He will take it and he will work it like a perfect ingredient in your life, even your toughest, most dark moment. If he can get his hand on it, he will work it for your good. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So here's what God does. Even though it's hard to see it often in our eyes, the best thing that can happen in your life ever is meeting God. Are you with me? In that process, what is the best thing? Is to become like Jesus. And so a lot of the suffering in this world, especially injustice against you, hard times you find yourself in, God will use to make you more like Jesus. That's one of the big things how he uses suffering. Just like him who suffered, but he did not deserve it. Yet he said, Father, not my will, your will. The one who washes feet of a man who would betray him a few hours later. Almost like that's me. And so one big thing that's shining above all the other things that God wants to do in your life when it comes to difficult times is to make you more like Christ. But remember the plan of the enemy. These challenging times can make you more like Christ or it can break you. And you want to say, God, have your hand in my life. Check this out. 1 Peter 1 verse 6. It says, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary. Who deems it necessary? God, you have been grieved by various trials. They come your way. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor, the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is the purpose of your life? To shine a light of glory unto God. There's nothing that brings more glory to God than when you are wronged and you say, God, I trust, to everyone that's there. When you are in a situation at work where something happened that should never happen to a person, but the way you handle it, they are dumbstruck. I've got a rock. Doesn't matter what come my way. What are you doing? You are shining a light on Christ. When everyone else was going to murmur, you say, no. A difficult situation has brought glory to God because you kept your eyes on Him. And in 2 weeks' time, 3 weeks' time, someone is at your front door. I want to know that God. Bad things will happen to you and good things will come of it. Did you know that? Be ready. Here's a long list of stuff I wrote down that you will find in Scripture. You're going to be Ayaskatiach, but let's quickly read through it. He will use it as building blocks for a better future. To show himself strong in your weakness. These are all things that happen through challenges. He will use it to make you more like Jesus. He will use it to build community. You need other people to pray with you, to support you. And then you're going to be there for them. He will use it for the glory of his name. You will learn to love him dearly through the trials of life, that you may love him more than anything else, and to develop your ministry. said it a few weeks back, who's the best person to help someone who grew up without a dad, but developed his character at the end by trusting on God? Someone else who did not have a dad. Is it a good thing not to have a father? No, it sucks, okay? It's a great thing to have a dad. What's even maybe worse is to have a father that's not there. He's there, but he's not present. But sometimes these things prepare you for a great ministry in this world. Some of the women in this world that does the most amazing work when it comes to healing the hearts of ladies are women that was raped at some stage. Terrible thing. Worst thing in the whole world. If I find someone, I don't know what I'll do. Someone will have to stop me from killing a man. But here's the thing. God says that's bad. Then what happens? The minister stands up and Satan gets in his face. Hundreds of ladies get healed because of one woman that was wronged, kept her eyes on Jesus and went forward. What is happening in your life? What is the bad hands that you are dealt with? I'm sure everything in your life is not perfect. I'm sure you've looked around and said, you know what, I wish I was in that situation. Take the cards you are dealt into the throne room of God, and you won't even know what's going to come out of there. Amazing things. Are you with me? Can we go to the last one? We conquer these things. How? By what? Through the love of God. We conquer these things through the love of God. We go to the next slide. This is an interesting piece of scripture. Check this out. In Romans 8 verse 35, he asks a question. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then he names all these things, tribulation, distress. He asks a question. Then in the next verse, he references something before he answers his question. He says, like it is written, he's referring to the Old Testament, and he's saying, for your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are being treated harshly. Right? And then he answers the question. That's why verse 27 starts with a no. Can you see that? So if you want to skip verse 36 for almost in a sense of keeping the conversation doing, you can. It says, shall these things separate us? Danger, sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So here's the thing. You want to do well in life? You want to be a mature disciple? You want to be a conqueror that conquers all things? How's your love relationship with the King? It is by the love of Jesus that you will conquer all those things. Now, coming here is very important. For me, the easiest place to worship God is in church. Everyone is worshiping. We're worshiping now. And everyone's, you know, we're not looking at our cell phones now. We're worshiping God. And so it creates great momentum, good place to start. Learn to love God and worship. It's also a place where most of you spend, I think, academically, from a biblical point of view, your best time in the week because you're focused now, you're making your notes, everyone else is doing it. That's great. But now you have to move to your own inner room. Every married couple knows that. Okay, it's good to be at a big social gathering, but you must be alone. It's important. All right? And so what I want to encourage you with is to find that place where God loves on you. And it's going to be hard the first few times if you're not used to spending time with God. Just put your phone away and getting into a room, closing it, maybe put on some worship music and opening the Bible, then you're going to have to fight your way into that routine. You're going to have to make an appointment with yourself. For most people, it works the best in the mornings, because in the evenings, your corpus mal. Okay? Mornings. Fight yourself into that routine and connect with the love of God, because when the challenges come, you will know the shelter of God. And here's a very important tip. I don't know who of you at this moment are going through a tough time. Scripture is true. You come to God, He's got grace, He He will be with you. If you are at this moment at a great place in your life, if you had a breakthrough and you experience God is with you, learn to love God when it's going well with you so that you know His love when the walls come down. Because when the walls come down, your emotions are going to be up and down. You're not going to be thinking straight. If it's got to do with something financial, you're not thinking. You've got your credit card out. You're paying something, buying something you should not buy. You're making a phone call you should not make. Learn to know the love of God when it's going well with you. Love Him. Worship Him. Talk with Him. And all these things, you can conquer each one of those things through Jesus who loves you. And there we are. Your 5 pointers for the evening. Believers will have challenges to conquer. Jesus knows about every challenge you face. Satan has a purpose of your suffering. God has a purpose of your suffering. And we conquer these things through the love of God. And that last point is the most important thing. If you are in a love relationship with Christ, the Holy Spirit will tell you the moment something goes in a direction that's off, you will hear it. It happened to me this week. More than once, I was speaking into a situation. I was speaking to someone, and as I spoke, I'm like, that was not God. Just coming from a place where I want God to speak with me, and I want to be connected with Him. As you move, as you live, as you make decisions, He will direct you. And when these challenges come, you will conquer. Let's stand tonight, everyone.